Hopefully we don't have to wait till next fall to see it.
Hopefully not.
Okay, we're going to go on to number 27, aerial coyote control. John, are you with us today?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, and Secretary Roebling. John Kienta, terrestrial section chief for the department. If you recall at our April commission meeting, the commission raised the question of how coyote removal was going, in particular aerial operations in regards to the lack of snow that we've had this last winter. So we put together some information, just some preliminary information here to share with you and run through a few items just to give you a little bit of a take on how that looks this year. So we did put together a handout. I think Jackie, the regional supervisor out there, is in the room, and she'll hand that out to you if you don't already have it, and I'll run through some of that. To start with, I'd like to take the opportunity to highlight our wildlife damage management strategic plan, specifically goal number 3, which says we'll mitigate livestock and property loss through effective delivery of our wildlife damage program services, and in particular strategy number 4, where we're asking our wildlife damage specialists to prioritize predator control activities February 1 through June 15. So this update fits nicely with that plan. I just want to take the opportunity to highlight that. So when we look at our aerial control options, we've actually got a great program going on right now, probably the best that I've seen in my 25 years with the department. And I say that because we have 2 APHIS Wildlife Services planes in the state, one stationed in Spearfish, one in Pier, both of those with pilots and gunners through APHIS. And we have a great working relationship with them and a great team going on right now. So happy to report that. Beyond that, as far as aerial control goes, we have 2 contract pilots. We're actually contracting 300 hours of additional flight time at a minimum. Last year, we did 350, but at a minimum, 300 hours of additional flight time with those contract pilots. We have private permitted pilots, which are typically landowners throughout the state that get permitted and fly their property as well as adjacent properties and other properties in the area. And then also we work very closely with those predator control districts. And in some cases, they help fund some additional flight time and add to that aerial program. So really good program going there. I do want to take the opportunity to express all the tools in our tool bag. And of course, we have top-notch wildlife damage specialists, and I would argue the best program in the nation. And we are basically the only state that operates a state-run animal damage control program. Most other states rely completely on APHIS Wildlife Services. And so those wildlife damage specialists also have several ground options. They can trap, snare, use M44s, of course, the thermal and night vision that we've purchased for them over the last couple of years. They're very efficient at calling in coyotes, and then they also work dens on the ground. So talk a little bit about what it looks like this year. So the first thing I want to talk about is the request for service. We did have 670, and this is for January through April 2022. I should have mentioned that, January through April timeframe. So we had 670 requests for service for coyote control between January and April for 2022. And just to give you a comparison, we had 821 for this same time period in 2021. So we're down about 150 requests for service, which is interesting to me, but I don't know exactly what to make of that. We certainly did have some challenges this year in regards to aerial service in particular. One of those is we did have our APHIS pilot out of Pier retire and move on. And that was late in 2021. And so we did scramble to find a new pilot and get that gentleman hired on and in place. Now, the nice thing with that is that we kind of had a gentleman that we were working with and in the ranks and kind of testing him out. And it turns out, great pilot. He's actually with the National Guard, flies helicopters, a very efficient pilot, very safe and effective and great experience for the low-level flying that we do when we do aerial coyote removal. And so we have him in place and working along with a new APHIS gunner in Pier and fully operational now, but that is something to factor into these numbers when I give them to you. High winds, you've heard a lot about that, and we saw the damage and all the other things going on where high winds are impacting us. Well, here they've impacted us again, particularly with the month of April. We've not seen winds like this that I can recall. And so that certainly impacts the amount of flying that we can do. And then spotty snow. And that is something that I think Commissioner Beast or Commissioner Spring brought up at that April meeting, is how is that snow impacting? And so let me talk just a little bit about snow versus no snow. So 100% snow cover is great. And that does provide that nice backdrop so that we can pick those coyotes out of the air and get down and take care of business. So that is kind of perfect conditions. But I would also argue or tell you that no snow is good conditions as well, particularly as we work into spring and things start to green up. That no snow provides that good backdrop again. And those coyotes, they really stand out. They almost look white against that backdrop. And so no snow isn't necessarily a barrier. And then again, as we move into the spring with that green backdrop, good to see the coyotes, but we can also locate those dens well, because that fresh dirt from those female coyotes digging out that den allows us to pick those out real nice from the air and on the ground for that matter. Now, where this can become tricky for us is kind of patchy snow. So that areas of snow and no snow, that's what makes it harder out of the air to see those coyotes, and they kind of tend to blend in, or it makes that sight picture harder to follow. The other nice thing about no snow is that our wildlife damage specialists can work the ground longer and with more equipment. When we have those heavy winters with lots of snow and cold weather, it covers our traps, it freezes our traps up, it makes access harder, so our wildlife damage specialists aren't able to do as much ground control. So with no snow, they're more efficient on the ground, or able to get more done. Back to our sheet here, I'll just quickly go over the numbers. So you can see there for 2022, January through April, the total coyotes removed was 5,111. And that includes all of the aerial work and groundwork. And you can see there that APHIS Wildlife Services planes took close to 1,500. The other aerial, we took close to 1,700. And then on the ground, we're looking at close to 2,000 coyotes that we removed. So as a comparison, we removed 6,808 coyotes in 2021. So we are down about 1,700 from last year. But I remind you back to that other point I made, we saw 150 less requests for service. So I don't know that that necessarily equates to the bad conditions. It may just simply equate to the less requests to service. But nonetheless, that's what the numbers look like. So with that, I would take any questions, and I do believe we're going to have Jackie jump up and give you a quick update on the bounty as well. But I would certainly take any questions or comments that you may have on that information.
Commissioner Risler.
Thank you. So, John, yesterday we heard about the low antelope numbers. How much of this is used or will be used to possibly help with that?
Through the chair. Commissioner Risler, thank you for the question. And yeah, when we were talking about that yesterday, this popped into my head. And so we don't directly work areas or remove coyotes to benefit wildlife, and in this case, deer, fawns, or antelope fawns. But I would say that we have a very aggressive, and again, our staff do a tremendous job, and they work heavily leading up to the spring and through the springtime. And so you could argue that these efforts here certainly help that situation. We absolutely are saving deer and antelope fawns by the work that we're doing here, along with, of course, the livestock protection that we're completing. But absolutely, this plays into that, and it should help with that survival.
Mr. Chair, can I ask one more question? When we look at the requests that come in for coyote control, how does that work? Is that on fully on the dime of GFMP? Who pays for that?
Yeah, through the chair. Thank you, Commissioner Risler. And those calls come in across the state, of course, and typically they're calling our local wildlife damage specialist. At times it's our conservation officers or our regional offices. In a big picture, this is what that funding source looks like. So the all of the counties in South Dakota pay in to the Animal Damage Control Program. The department matches every dollar that's paid in with $2 of our funding. And I should back up a little bit. The mechanism to determine what those counties pay in is based on livestock assessments, both sheep and cattle. And so based on those numbers dictates what those counties will pay in. And then we match that 2-to-1. On top of that, we do see some funding from the Department of Agriculture. That primarily goes to prairie dog control as well as coyote control. But by and large, on the animal damage control side of things, that's where our funding comes from.
Commissioner Whitmer.
Yeah, Commissioner Whitmer. John, yeah, thank you. I'm reminded of some accolades due to you and the staff for working on this. The producer was affected by a coyote with his calves, and it was reported to the department, and almost immediately he was contacted by staff, and they addressed the issue beginning that same evening, and within two or three days had taken out a number of coyotes and really fixed things for him. So thank you to you and staff, and keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Commissioner Burton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioner Bertling, John, are you fully staffed with conservation officers or the damage control officers to field the calls that come in?
Through the chair, Commissioner Bertling, yes, currently we are at full staff. We did have a few vacancies here recently. One example would be we did have a gunner that on staff that worked in the back of that APHIS plane in Pier. That gentleman did resign here, I believe it was November timeframe in 2021. What we did is worked with APHIS Wildlife Services to actually move that position back over to Wildlife Services. And now we have a federal gunner that works in the back of that plane and pier. We did have some other folks that moved on. In fact, some of our wildlife damage specialists, a couple of them that pop in my head, did take advantage of the opportunity to move into some of these private land habitat biologists that we hired on in regards to our habitat and access priority. And so we had to backfill those positions. But yeah, sorry for the long-winded answer, but currently we are full staff. So.
Any other questions, comments? Good, thanks, John.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
I see BJ, you were on earlier. I hope you're still with us so you can do number 28, the walleye stocking and evaluations. Welcome.
Thank you. Jackie. Jackie,
sorry, going? I forgot. We're going to do a quick nest predator bounty update. And so sorry about that, Jay.
No problem. Good morning, Commissioners and Secretary Roebling. I was just asked to do a quick bounty update. I was here last month with an update as well, so I'll just keep this one short. I was just looking the other day after our scheduled Tuesday tail turn-in day. We had just over 31,000 tails submitted, by about a little over 1,300 participants. So probably what everybody's wondering about, where we are at, if we're going to reach that limit before July 1st or not. And we're at about $309,000 that we've allocated so far. So that leaves about $190,000 left. And that's about where we were about this time last year. So with how the submissions have been going, I suspect we'll probably go all the way through till July 1st before we reach that $500,000 limit. But if we suspect we're going to reach it before then, we will definitely be doing news releases and reach out to folks. So if they have some tails that they need to get submitted, we can get those, have ample opportunity for them to get those submitted. So I think I reported last month too that most of our participants have been youth under the age of 18, and it still is holding true, but those 51 to 70 year olds are creeping up, and it's kind of spreading out amongst the other age groups as well. So the youth are now 37% of the participants. I think last month that they were closer to 50%. So we're getting a few other age groups participating now, but that's about it in a nutshell. So if there's any other questions where we're at with the nest predator bounty program,
any
I'll take that.
Questions? I had one question. Somebody asked me last week, and I think I told them, I think that the traps that we still had in stock, we were holding back for the youth contests for the weekly drawings that we've been doing. And so we don't have any traps per se that we're giving away to people that want to participate, do we?
Good question, Mr. Chair. Correct. We have a few of those live traps that we use that maybe 3 years ago, 4 years ago, when we first started the program, where we had those available to the public. So we had a few of those left over, and correct, we use those for the youth giveaway, weekly youth giveaway.
Thank you. Any other questions? Commissioner Whitmire.
Jackie, this is Commissioner Whitmire. I just curious on those traps giveaway that we did 3 years ago. Do you ever see any participants return those for others to use, or is that a thing or not?
Good question, Commissioner Whitmire. We still actually ask the question when folks come in to submit their tales. We ask them if they received those traps, 4 years ago, and quite a few say yes, we did, and they get a big smile on their face because they know that those were went fast. I don't hear too many that are offering them up to others, I guess, but I know several folks have told us that they're letting other kids use them, your neighbors or something like that. But so I think they're getting shared a little bit, but they sure did like those traps. They were well built at the time. So, and we do, as a department, we do have some traps in each office that we use as loaner traps. So folks can come in. And it's more, outside of the Nest Predator Bounty Program, they can come in and check out these traps for a few days to take care of some problem skunks or raccoons around their farm place or not. And then they return those, and then other folks can come in and get those. So.
Yeah, I know it's not just for kids. I got a 79-year-old kid that makes this part of his daily routine that really, really enjoys it. So as a matter of fact, I just saw him checking them on my trail cameras right now. So. All right. If anybody doesn't have anything more for that, we'll go on.